take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
You are listening to Nurses Out Loud Friday Edition on America Out Loud Talk Radio. I am your host, Nurse Michelle. As many of you know, Nurse Michelle has been a nurse since the 1980s. Before I retired to homeschool my kids, I was a high-risk obstetrical labor and delivery nurse. And my youngest daughter is also among the healers of this generation, and she chose the same path as a new nurse and now is actively practicing as a labor and delivery nurse. I have encouraged her to do something that sadly nursing schools are not actively teaching their students to be very attentive to doing, and that is to make sure you know the COVID-19 vaccine status of every single patient. Find out what brand of vaccine they got and when they got each one. If you can, ask for their card and gather the vaccine ID code and make sure it's part of your nurse's notes. As a labor and delivery nurse, you need to know if your patient got a vaccine during her pregnancy. You need to know if she got any kind of vaccine, including even the Tdap, T-D-A-P, the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine that many pregnant women are encouraged to get. But most importantly, discover if they got the COVID-19 vaccine booster. And the reason you want to do that is because we have heard nothing but how safe and effective this vaccine must be for women and pregnant women and babies. And now we know the world is vaccinating both with COVID-19 vaccinations. And the medical community must get the acceptance that it is your responsibility to document this data inside the patient record. Because if something happens to this mother, if something happens to this baby, if the mother did get a vaccine during the pregnancy, somebody has been the true patient advocate and documented within the patient record something that you know is harmful to the mother and to this baby. And how do we know that it's harmful to the mother and baby? Because there's already been brave whistleblowers that are out there who have exposed what is actually going on. The data is coming out. The studies are showing. The FDA just last year said that the fetal demise rate was like they'd had never seen before in the last 20 years. And it would be nice to know what happened 20 years ago that may have had it elevate as well. But the reality is, it's up to the medical community. Those of you that went into nursing and medicine for the purposes of feeling the calling to be among those that are the healers of your generation, because every single generation is going to need healers. There are always going to be dying people. There are always going to be sick people, broken people, people in car wrecks, people with traumatic injuries, people with emotional injuries. And there's always going to be people birthing babies and needing people to usher babies into this world. And there will be needing of care for those that are going to need to be ushered into the next world. So the healers are always among us. And it is up to those of us that are those that have been called to relieve the suffering and the oppressed of this generation to be the ones that thoroughly take note of your patients' history and physical. And one of those things right now that is so important is documenting whether or not your patient has gotten this dangerous vaccine. Today, I have with me a special guest that has actually been on Nurses Out Loud before. She was interviewed by Nurse Kimberly in 2023. So I will give the link to her interview in my show notes for you to listen to that one, because today I'm going to bring her story to you and let you hear how one brave nurse exposed what she witnessed. And what she witnessed, you all want to hear about. If you haven't heard this story, we want you to make sure that you're familiar with it. We want you to remember that it's important that you share stories like this. If you know a nurse that's delivering babies or works with a mother baby at all, the nursery or the mother baby care, you need to share this podcast with those people, because it's up to each of us to secure America's future by waking people up with the truth of what's happening. So welcome today to Nurse Michelle, and we're going to have more information about her in my show notes. But Michelle, we want you to tell us how you became known as a whistleblower when it comes to what's happening with babies being born in America post-COVID-19 vaccine era.
All right. I'd be happy to share. First of all, thank you, Michelle, for having me on. So I, looking back, I would not have ever thought that I'd become some sort of whistleblower. You know, before 2020 ever happened, I was pretty much just kind of in mom mode and nurse mode. And I was working on the tele floor, taking care of patients with cardiac issues, you know, for 3 years. And then I got transferred to postpartum in November of 2020. So that's when the whole COVID thing was happening. Everybody was masked up and wearing their PPE and all that. And, you know, moms would come in labor, they'd have their babies, they'd come to postpartum, we'd take care of them, they'd go home. You know, some of them were positive for COVID because they tested everybody, right? But even if they weren't sick, and if they were positive, it was no big deal. We took care of them anyways, and then they went home. No real like health issues going on, you know, just normal delivery. And then there's happy moms with their happy babies. And it was nice. So I went from tele, where it was really traumatic most days.
What is, will you tell the audience what tele means?
Yeah, tele is the cardiac floor. So patients, a lot of like older patients with like heart conditions, kidney conditions, lung issues, things like that. So definitely more medical, more medicine and CPR going on a lot, and just hard. Traumatic, you know? So when I went to postpartum, I was so happy to get transferred to postpartum, especially in the middle of COVID. And I felt like finally I get a break because I'm here with the babies. I was so happy to be there. I thought that, you know, God put me in this position and really grateful. And so when I was in orientation, a nurse had me give a hepatitis B vaccine to a baby. And I had never questioned the childhood shots before that day because, you know, as a nurse, we just kind of do what you're taught to do. And going through nursing school, I got all the shots that I needed. I didn't really think about it. But when I gave this hepatitis B shot, I instantly felt disgusted with myself. And I felt like I just hurt this baby. And I didn't feel right about it. And so I came home and I told my mom, you know what? I don't think I can do this. I think I need to go back to tele because I don't want to poke babies. I don't feel right about this. And I was like, I need to quit. And she was like, do not quit. Those babies need you and you're saving them. And so I'm like, okay, fine, mom. And then when I was on my own out of orientation, I was supposed to give another hepatitis B shot. But by this time, I had researched about hepatitis B. I found out what was in there. And I made up my mind that I'm not going to do that again. And so instead of quitting, I decided to tell these mothers, like, hey, this hepatitis B shot has formaldehyde, aluminum, mercury, aborted fetal tissues, you know, all these things that don't belong in your baby's body. And the only way your baby gets hepatitis B is if your baby has sex with somebody who has hepatitis B. So your baby doesn't need it. And the moms are like, well, then I don't want it. I'm like, okay, good.
Good for you. Good for you being the informed consent nurse. It gives the patient the chance to assume that the patient doesn't actually know something about a vaccine. Because if you didn't know as a nurse until you researched, what's the chances that your patient knows something about it?
Absolutely. Right. So because my mom told me not to quit, and I actually didn't want to quit because I was so happy to be there with the babies, I found that that was an opportunity for me to provide true informed consent. And so I feel like I'm kind of starting at the source, because if the mother refuses that first one, okay, now they're going to start questioning the rest of them. So thank God, right? So I do believe God put me there.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's another attention nurses that are listening. What she just said, you have the ability to put the question in the mind of the patient Because by you just simply even saying to a mama, okay, now it's pattern, it's recommended that we give you this hepatitis B vaccine to your baby, but have you read anything about the hepatitis B vaccine yourself? The answer is probably almost certainly no. And you say, okay, well, would you like me to tell you something about the hepatitis B vaccine? It was actually created for the AIDS epidemic for the men who were showing up positive with AIDS, and there was such a hepatitis situation going on at that time. That's why it was actually given, because hepatitis B actually is more affiliated to people who are either IV drug abusers or very, very hypersexual men, typically hypersexual men who are gay, because it will show in those kind of groups. So if you're not a woman having sex with men who are having sex with men, or you're not an IV drug abuser, or you're not in a situation where you are drinking foul, dirty water that isn't clean and sanitary, and then what, we don't really have a reason to think you have hepatitis B. And I looked at your record, and it says right here that you had the hepatitis B test during your pregnancy, and you're negative. So you don't have it. Your baby's not going to be having sex with anybody for a very long time.
Right. And if your baby is having sex with somebody, you have bigger problems than worrying about a hepatitis B vaccine.
Yeah, you've got a child molestation situation going on. Exactly. So if you're in one of those high risk situations where some women are, unless it's that's your story, you might want to read a thing or two about this hepatitis B shot. So I'm very happy that you did that. That's a brilliant mindset that you used. And nurses listening, this is how you can actually semi-manipulate education to be able to open people's eyes up to realizing how uninformed they actually are.
Yes, thank you. And thanks to my mom. I mean, my mom was taken from me in November of 2021, but she instilled in me that do not quit. Those babies need you and you're saving them. And when she said that to me the first couple times, I didn't realize that those statements right there is going to take off and I will become that whistleblower that I am now today in 2024. So thank you to my mom.
Oh yeah. This was just the first step in the process.
Yes. And so that was November 2020 that I started postpartum. And then I heard about these COVID shots that are going to start coming out. And I'm like, this seems totally wrong. It seems so unnecessary because we have all these COVID moms, COVID positive moms, I guess, whatever COVID is. And they're not even sick. And I'm like, so COVID's not all that bad. And these shots just don't seem right. And so I knew that they were going to start rolling them out. I knew that they were going to start pushing them on pregnant women. And so I really just kept my eyes open.
Yeah. So you were hearing that these people were getting COVID and they were testing positive for COVID. And you as an eyewitness are saying they don't even look that sick. So this COVID vaccine doesn't sound like something so necessary. Is that what your observation was?
Yes, of course. And so from November 2020 to March of 2021 in there, you know, for the most part, these moms were healthy and the babies were healthy. And then I knew these shots were going to start rolling out and they were going to push them on pregnant women. So in March or before March, I was a pretty observant. I knew that these shots were going to probably kill a lot of people from what I had been hearing about, you know, just their mechanism of action. Like I knew that they'd be toxic to the system, right? And so I noticed that we would have like one fetal demise every month or two. And a fetal demise is a baby that passes away while in utero, full term. And, you know, four per year was kind of the average before March of 2021. So in March of 2021, these shots start rolling out and I would come to work and I'd see that there'd be a fetal demise on the labor and delivery board. And this was like almost every day that I came to work. So if I work, you know, 3 days per week, that's a huge increase compared to the four that we were having per year. So a couple months keep going by. And every time I come to work, I see that there's a fetal demise. And, you know, everybody's kind of in this brainwashed zone where they're like, get your vaccine. And everybody's like obsessed about going out and getting their shots. And so I saw that mothers would come in full term and they would deliver a dead baby, and it would show that they had just received a COVID vaccine like the week before that. Also, we have a pretty large NICU, you know, the neonatal intensive care unit. And at any given time, there's usually about 50 babies in there. All of a sudden, in March of 2021, there were 80 babies in the NICU.
Hey, let me clarify something. Are you saying that this NICU, which sounds like a very big NICU, which is a neonatal intensive care unit, is usually populated 50 beds, that there's about 50 babies in there because it's such a big NICU, and now it's almost double in March of 2021 at around 80 babies in the NICU?
Yes, that's correct. And that is the highest number that has ever been in the NICU at that hospital.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was, how long did that stay like that? That was that just for 1 month? How long did that continue?
It stayed like that for a couple of weeks. And then we were seeing these fetal demises happening too. So I'm thinking that because right in March, that was like when the surge, when all these pregnant women got this shot, then all of a sudden something was wrong. And then they would deliver their baby early so the baby would go to NICU. But then as time went by, it was like, people were just getting shots at random times, not all like at the same time. So, I think that's why the number was so high in March.
Yeah. Because there was that surge where everybody was racing to it and they were propagandizing so much on the news, how important it was and how safe it was for pregnant women.
Right.
And they had scared them so sufficiently that I'm sure thousands ran to go get that vaccine.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's really horrific. And so I was coming to work and I'm seeing these baby, the fetal demise listed on the labor and delivery side. And I kept asking other nurses, what is going on? Why are all these babies dying? And I mean, I knew it was the shot deep down. Of course, I knew that right away before the shots even came out. But I was kind of playing dumb because I wanted to see if other nurses are catching on. And some of them were like, oh, I don't know, maybe it's pesticides. Or global warming.
My word.
Or moms aren't as healthy these days or whatever. And so these, every time I come to work, there's a dead baby. And then, you know, these moms, there's like a huge increase in like pre-E where these moms are having like blood pressure issues, like crazy high. And then they're having clots coming out of them or they're bleeding out, like all these different things that are not normal. When you have a baby, it should be a pretty natural experience where you just deliver the baby. And then like before the shots came out where they would be there, we'd take care of them, they'd go home. Now there's all these crazy medical problems where we have them on magnesium and other, you know, critical drugs in postpartum. This is not a normal thing for postpartum. So I felt like I was back on telly. And so I kept working.
Let me say something about that. So when she's saying she feels like she was back on telly, remember, that's what she was trying to get away from, was the complicated patient that has emergency things going on all the time. They have all kinds of major drugs hanging. They have heart monitors and all this stuff going on that's making them a complicated patient. She's supposed to be on a postpartum floor where we got recovering mommies who are happily nursing their babies, and she's bringing in the lactation consultant to help them cope with how to breastfeed appropriately and to help their bodies recover from a cesarean section. And now she's got what's called either, did you have antepartum patients as well there that were preterm labors that were stable enough to go sit on postpartum because they weren't in active labor? Did y'all take over those kind of patients on your postpartum floor as well?
Sometimes we did, yeah.
So you're saying those were starting to populate more of the postpartum floor?
Well, I mean, they have their antepartum floor and they were busy too, and they float us around sometimes.
Okay. So now you've got these mothers who've had their babies and they're still needing magnesium sulfate. They're still not stable. Their blood pressures are too elevated. They're having complications, and that's
correct
of the norm in 2021.
Correct. And then we were also having babies that they would be born and they were stable when they were born, but then they'd come to us at 2 hours old and then they'd develop breathing issues. So they would start having increased respirations and then they'd end up going to NICU. This is also not normal. So, you know, I started seeing these problems happening in these babies too.
where they're supposed to be stable, they're supposed to be on postpartum until they go home, and then they end up getting worse and sick and going to NICU. So it was heartbreaking.
Was your hospital putting masks on people at this point too, these labor and delivery patients having to wear masks to deliver their babies?
Yes, yes. And it's ridiculous. There's no clinical indication for wearing a mask. It's ridiculous.
Especially when you're needing to breathe a whole bunch to deliver a baby.
I know. I know. It's crazy.
Hold just a moment. So much change in 2021, and you had just gotten yourself used to being on this floor, not even a year yet. You're not even at your 1 year anniversary of November yet, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah. And so all these nurses started getting their COVID shots, and there was talk that if we don't get it by October 15th, they're going to fire us. And I was just thinking, okay, well, fire me then, because I'm not getting it. I was injured by a flu vaccine in 2019. And after that, I decided I'm not getting any more. So by this point, I was like, I'm not getting the COVID shot. They can fire me. Like, I will figure something out. And then November of 2021 came, and my mom got sick, went to the hospital, a different one than what I work at. And they murdered her. They gave her remdesivir after I begged them not to. The minute I took my mom to the hospital, I had been taking care of my mom for 2 weeks before she went to the hospital. And then when I took her to the hospital, I thought, okay, she needs oxygen. I'm a nurse. They'll probably let me in. She needs the extra support. I told my mom, make sure they don't give you remdesivir. Tell them you just need oxygen. And then she got there. The first thing they did was give her remdesivir at 2 a.m. when she was asleep, after she had already stated not to give it to her. My mom was, it's a long story. She was in there for 2 weeks long. She was completely mutilated, drugged to death, tied up, had her teeth knocked out because they didn't sedate her enough when they put her on a ventilator. They put her in restraints without an order, and they shoved a metal tube down her throat and knocked her teeth out and just killed her. Completely no concern for my mother's life whatsoever. Every day that she was in the hospital, I begged for them to let me come in. I said, she's dying. She needs me there. I can help her. And they're like, no, sorry, it's our policy. You can't come in. And I don't know where policy overrides human life. I don't know why we were to that point that nobody cares about human life anymore. And every time I talked to the doctor, she'd say, why didn't your mom get the vaccine? And it's like, because she's allergic. And why does it matter? Just take care of her. And so they constantly said, you can't come in. It's our policy. And so I'm so sick of that word, so sick of that term. I don't give a shit about policies anymore. I think people should just use their brains, right?
You're here, a common sense nurse who knows exactly what she's talking about. She tried to protect her mother. And when the nurses cannot help their own loved ones, you know you're in trouble.
Yes. Yeah. And so they took my mom from me. My mom was my best friend. I also do holistic treatments on the side, which it's called the Body Code. And I had been treating my mom for an entire year before she got sick. And I really got to know my mom like more than I had ever known before. And it's such a blessing that I had that. But I mean, I was very involved with her life. And so to have her taken from me the way that she was, it completely destroyed me. And, I didn't want to go to work after that with all the craziness, everything that was happening in the hospitals, plus all the crazy vaccine discrimination. And I just didn't want to go to work. But I kept hearing my mom say, oh, go ahead.
What was your mom saying?
Oh, yeah. I kept hearing her voice say when I wanted to quit. I'm a single mother now, but I was working where I don't have the opportunity to quit. You know, I support my family financially. So I didn't want to go to work, but I just I kept hearing her say, do not quit. Those babies need you and you're saving them. So I kept going to work. I kept seeing all these dead babies when I'd come to work. And then in the month of September 2022, I opened my email, and the first thing I read in this horrific email that I received was, as you all know, there's been an increase in fetal demises, And there was a record number of fetal demises in the month of August. There were 22 of them. And that ties for the number in July of 2021. So that's crazy to me. So that if you read that, you dissect it, that's an average of 20 babies per month for 1 year that are now dead.
Right. Didn't you just
never happened before?
Yeah, didn't you just tell us that the average was 4 per year?
Yes. And now it's 20 per month.
That is just unbelievable. And we're going to have to cut for break. And when we do come back, we're going to have to pick right back up where you just said about that, because there's so much to unpack here. This is just an amazing testimony of a nurse that we are hearing firsthand what she witnessed. And believe it or not, firsthand testimonies matter. And that's what we're doing here today, is we're talking about a firsthand testimony. Don't forget to check out our online store at AmericaOutloud.shop, where you can find all the products that we support that support our radio network at a discounted rate, including ASEA, which is the official sponsor of Nurses Out Loud. Check out the Redox 28 Gel, which I can personally speak to seeing fantastic results with pain relief through my hip surgery recovery that I've been going through since October of 2023. But I also found some great relief from sinus pressure in my face that I had from a recent feline cold that I caught from a Humane Society kitten that we had just adopted. This kitty was required to have all of its pet vaccines to come home with me to our anti-vax family. This is a real true Nurse Michelle story. The kitten had horrible sneeze fits when it came home, and it sneezed all in my face, and I ended up with all this notable face pain from sinus pressure on the roots of my upper teeth. And I just rubbed that Redox gel on my face and jaw. And I'm telling you, it was over in moments. So get yourself some and stop using all that Tylenol and ibuprofen for pain. Use promo code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your purchase. I'll catch you on the other side of break, and we will pick up where we left off. Stay with us.
It's time and this is what.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our Redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX Throat Spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Wow, I just took my first supplement of Healthy Cell Heart and Vascular Health, a new offering. It comes in a bright new red package. You can't miss it. Red for heart health. This is, again, the Healthy Cell Microgel technology. It has 32 milligrams of niacin in the form of niacinamide, which is 200% of the daily requirement, vitamin B6, folate, which is methylated folate, vitamin B12, magnesium, 100 milligrams of magnesium citrate. I commonly recommend that for heart patients. 100 milligrams of potassium citrate, which is a small amount of additional dietary potassium. 1 gram of soluble fiber, which is amazing to pick up a gram of fiber just in the supplement. Beetroot powder, ahi flower seed oil, Aronia Berry Juice Concentrate, Coenzyme Q10, we recommend that for so many patients on statins, vitamin K2, grape seed extract, and Reversitrol, which is the active ingredient that's in red wines that's so beneficial for heart disease. It's all in the Healthy Cell Supplement. I'm so excited. I will be recommending this to my cardiovascular patients. It's quick to take. It's readily absorbed. If you go to America Out Loud Talk Radio, the website platform for our show, click on the banner bar for Healthy Cell, and that'll lock you right into getting a discount on your very first purchase of Healthy Cell Heart and Vascular Health Supplement.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Clean, pure, with premium ingredients. Global Healing's Pure Plant Protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with Pure Plant Protein. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
When God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Time and this is love. Welcome back to Nurses Out Loud Talk Radio. You're here with Nurse Michelle and with Nurse Michelle Gershwin as well. Nurse Michelle Spencer as well. And she has been telling her story of working in the world of postpartum during 2020 and 2021. And she got to see what happened as the rollout happened of the vaccine. And all of a sudden, there's all these fetal demise with babies. The NICU is starting to get more and more full with babies that are not stable. She's seeing more and more fetal demise on the board. She told us that prior to 2020, the typical death of babies was about 4 per year. And all of a sudden the vaccine rolls out. And in 2021, we're seeing a massive change. And in the summer of 2021, there were so many more fetal demises. Her alerts are turned on. Her hospital's starting to act like things are a little cuckoo by making people deliver babies with masks on. And which is absurd, but it did happen. We know people who did have babies in that year and they had to go through labor and delivery and all the breathing they have to do to cope with delivering a baby with a mask on. So the absurdity of that is just unbelievable. And here she is being threatened now, coming up on October of 2021, that if you don't get that COVID vaccine, you know, we're going to fire you. And she had mentioned that her mom had died of COVID, died in the hospital from the protocols because of them using the bad protocols on her in November of 2021. But I want to back up again back to October and what happened, because they're threatening to fire all of you if you don't get vaccines. So you didn't get fired. But why is that? What happened in October 21?
So October 15th came and I submitted a religious exemption. And then they didn't fire anybody who didn't get the vaccine. They said, that now you have to test twice a week if you didn't get the vaccine.
But they made it seem like all this pressure that they put on everybody to get the vaccine or you're going to get fired. They made it seem like that was their own choice, like their fault. And then all the pressure that they placed on us, then they made it sound like after October 15th, they're like, oh, you just have to test twice a week. They made it sound like it wasn't that big of a deal
to not get the vaccine after all.
Yeah. But then they put all that stress on everybody. A lot of nurses were so stressed out about getting fired that they went and got the vaccine, even though they didn't want it.
Did you know nurses that had bad reactions to the vaccine?
Or yes. A lot of them did. A lot of them got the vaccine and then they got sick. One of them had like neurological problems where half her face went numb and her arm went numb. And another one had back issues. And I don't think they're necessarily blaming the vaccine themselves, but I noticed that these things happened to them after they got it. The one with the face issue where her face went numb, she said that it's from the vaccine. Her face went back to normal. It's not numb anymore, thank God. But yeah, a lot of them did get sick.
But it looks like they are counted. Anyone that had actually negative responses to the vaccine are the ones that are more at risk if they keep on getting the vaccine. So if they continue to keep getting those boosters, their body's already told them it didn't respond well. And that may be a reflection of their individual immune systems. So all these people who are going through dire duress, I know a lot of those people, my own spouse at the time, their company said that if you don't get vaccinated before that same kind of date, you are going to risk non-employment. And he had worked at home for 10 years and never even went inside a building with anybody. And they said it didn't matter. So the illogicalness of it was insane. And even though he was married to Nurse Michelle, who was not going to have anything to do with that vaccine, he felt so much pressure because he was a primary provider of a family. And I'm sure you, as a primary provider of your family, felt that pressure as well. So you're right. Yes. This is a form of coercion at its finest going on. And here we go. That now they're testing you twice a week. So you had to submit to that. Was it at least the spit test or was it the nose swab?
Well, I was going to throw a fit if they were going to swab our nose. I was like, I'm not okay with that. And even though they didn't fire me for the vaccine, I'm not going to do the nose thing. So they can fire me for that for all I care. And I mean, I'm not in the position to be fired, but at the same time, I was like, this is just crazy, all of this. And so then when we would go to test, the person with the swab, they would just hand us the swab and they would say, go ahead and test. And they would turn their head. And so it's like they knew. And so I was okay with that. I'm like, okay, well, if they're going to let me do it myself, like I just touch my nose. I don't even put it up there because that's fine. But I was like, if they're going to try to do it for me and assault me and all that, then no, I'm not okay with that.
Yeah.
So I was able to kind of get out of it.
The level of amount of depth that people went up the nose unnecessarily. Dr. McCullough made the point that there was no need for this incredible depth of a swab anyways, just a little test of the nares was all that was needed. And we were talking about testing people who are asymptomatic. We're testing people who aren't sick. Once upon a time, we only tested people who were sick. So here you're going through this absurdity in October. You're observing all these extra patient loads. The postpartum floor is overloaded with more and more complicated people. The NICU is more flooded with sick babies. We have a increasing death rate. And then your mom gets COVID in November of 21. And you have to go through the agony of fighting for your mother. You know what to fight for. You're a well-read nurse. These are who the people count on to know what's going on. And even a woman who has a nurse for a daughter, the daughter cannot save her mom because these policies were so almost like you were in wartime. And the people in the hospital acted like they were the soldiers. And the soldier's job was, no matter what, they must comply with the policy that she made very clear. She's so sick of that word. We're also sick of that word. And I remember when my own daughter was hospitalized in 2021 in an ICU. And I said to this California hospital, I said, okay, what has to happen to get inside this hospital? And they said, oh, nothing. You can just come on in the hospital. I said, listen, this is communist California. I know there's some policy about the COVID vaccine. Oh, yeah, yeah. You'll have to show your vaccine card to get in. I said, okay, so my child who's dying in the ICU cannot be accessed because my husband doesn't have a COVID-19 vaccine card. Is that what you're telling me? She's like, yeah, it's policy. I said, well, I just want to remind you that when the Nazis were hung, who made the policies to kill the Jews, that it was not just the policy makers who were hung. It was the ones who complied and followed through with the policies as well. So you might want to really think about whether or not these policies are in the best interest of the patient, being that you're a patient care provider. And she, of course, thought I was overreacting, but I meant to get her attention. And I hope it got the audience's attention, because we saw the absurdity of what was going on. And we couldn't understand the compliance. So this is a tragedy that your mother, that she's calling it, murdered in the hospital by policies. And you go back to work and all this is going on. So what happens as you lead into 2022? How does your story?
Well, I was distraught by what happened to my mother. And I kept going to work anyways, even though I didn't want to. I was just kind of sick with everything in the world. And I was in a dark place, you know, and then I thought about quitting, and I kept hearing my mom say, do not quit. Those babies need you and you're saving them. So I kept going to work, knowing that my mom really just instilled that in me. So, and I didn't really know why. I didn't know the full extent. I just knew that, okay, well, I have no choice. Like, I need to work, you know? And so then in September of 2022 is when I received that email. The one that stated the huge increase in fetal demises, an average of 20 per month since, you know, around summertime 2021. And so I was so disgusted by that email. And I just thought, oh, my God, like, this is some pretty serious information that the public should know this. This is like really, really bad. And I can't believe the public's not outraged or that nobody's talking about this. And so right away, I took that email and I sent it to a friend of mine who's involved with Children's Health Defense. In my head, there was a split second where I was like, man, I could get fired for sending this email. But I was like, I don't care. Like, in my head, it was, that's as long as it stayed there. And then it was like, okay, send. I send to my friend. I didn't really know the extent of where that, what was going to happen. Of course, I had no idea. I just felt like I was just doing God's work in a way. Like, my actions were just happening without really knowing. And so my friend sent it to Children's Health Defense. And from there, I've connected with many people. You know, Dr. Thorpe, who's an OBGYN in Florida, he's amazing. He's been a huge support for me, and he's been getting information from places all over the United States. The same information, as far as the fetal demise increase, is it correlates with all the high vax states. The information is basically the same. He said that there's 6 out of 8, an average of 8 million babies born per year before 2021. That's the national average per year, 8 million normally. And then after 2021, that number went to 6 million. So that's like a quarter of the amount of babies that are normally born that are not born anymore. So that's the infertility rates that has decreased. As far as where women would normally have babies, now there's a 1/4 decrease in fertility. I don't know if I worded that right.
Yeah. So in other words, you're saying that he's observing and getting documented that the amount of babies actually being born is a quarter down from what it used to be.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And so he was able to find that information based on the email that I received, plus other people that he has working all over the United States.
So another reminder to those of you who are out there working in the unit, you actually have access to this data. If you've been working long enough inside of labor and delivery, inside of postpartum, inside of the nursery, you should know what used to be prior to COVID and what is now happening. And you need to start taking notes. If you have to have a journal at home, that's what I told my daughter to do, is to keep a journal at home of any kind of facts that she comes across, because she literally may be a person that needs to come in as a eyewitness to cases that when litigation finally starts happening, that there will be somebody to say, like yourself, that's a testimony to what you know was and what is now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in 2022, yeah. It was August of 2022 that they sent out that email. So as you start asking questions, surely the nurses around you also are saying, yeah, this is like, I've never seen it.
Yes, they were saying that. But then when I would mention that I think it's the vaccine, they're like, no, it's not. It's pesticides or whatever. They totally did not want to put it together. After a couple months, they started seeing how I ended up in the Died Suddenly documentary, and they started catching on that I had been doing these interviews, and they were coming up to me and saying, yeah, I do believe that it's the vaccine. So it took them a couple months, but they finally started putting it together. So I'm thankful for that. I asked a few of them if they would be willing to speak out with me, and they pretty much said no, but that they're not comfortable with that, but that they do appreciate what I'm doing, that they agree with me. They're glad that I am speaking out. And so
anyone in administration telling you what you can and cannot say about your hospital, like we don't know what state you're in. We haven't declared what state you're in right now. Maybe you're not giving up the name of the hospital, but what state at least are you from?
Fresno, California.
Oh, you're from California, yeah. Right? Where am I? Yeah. I was in the hospital. Okay.
Yeah. So the thing is that email had that horrific statement, that first part that I said out loud. And then as I kept reading the email, it got worse. They mishandled a dead baby's body, which was written out in that email. And so I couldn't even believe what I was reading. And then at the end of that, it said, because of this increase in fetal demises and because of the mishandling of the dead baby's body, we need to brush up on our policies so that we can learn how to handle a dead baby's body correctly, like how to wrap it up, put it in a bucket, send it to the morgue, cover it in saline, all that. And when I was reading this, I couldn't believe what I was reading. I wanted to throw up. And I couldn't work for the first 6 hours without just thinking about like what I had just read, like how disgusting all of that was. And I was like, I'm so sick of hearing about policies that I'm not going to brush up on any of your policies. I think that they should find out why these babies are dying. That's what the email should have said. It should have said, we need to figure out why these babies are dying, not you need to brush up on your policies. And so, when I sent the email out, it went kind of viral. And then my work caught on that I was in the Died Suddenly documentary in November. So then they investigated me in December. They had me come to a conference room. They had all these privacy, security, head of whoever, these big guys or ladies in there questioning me for 40 minutes. I felt like I was a criminal, like I had murdered somebody. They were asking me all these interrogating questions. And I'm like, I totally thought I was going to get fired that day. I was like ready to take off my badge because I'm like, okay, well, here it is, right? They're finally going to fire me. But I'm like, whatever, because they already threatened to fire me over the vaccine. And then, I'm always in trouble because I'm trying to get out of giving the hepatitis B shots and all this stuff. So anyway, I totally thought they were going to fire me. And then they said, are you aware that it's against company policy to copy and paste an internal document? And I said, why are you wasting your resources investigating why I copy and pasted an email? You should be investigating why babies are dying. And then they got really quiet. And then they were like, we're not here to answer your questions, Michelle. We're here to ask you questions on behalf of community, blah, 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 whatever the hospital is, right? And I was just like, okay, like thinking I prayed hard before I went into that meeting. I said, God be with me. Mom be with me. Give me the right words to say, because here's the moment where they're going to destroy me or whatever. I want to make sure I get out the right words. And then after they said that, when they said, we're not here to ask you or to answer your questions, they were like, okay, you can go back to work.
You are kidding. Yeah. So listen, everybody, if you didn't get the message loud and clear, when somebody actually stands up and fights and says, I don't really care, fire me if you have to fire me. She had that mindset in her mind. They didn't know that, but she did. And she acted accordingly. She asked practical questions. Why is she being interrogated about something that should be shocking the entire hospital system. The hospital system is basically in a major crisis, but they perhaps were not in a financial crisis because they were in a financial benefit situation where they actually were gaining funds for all this COVID positive situation. They were probably gaining funds for positive COVID-19 testing. People who were actually vaccinated, who got vaccinated within the hospital system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like this, the hospitals in the country were bought out to be given hush money so that when all this carnage and bad things started going down, the hospitals would be quiet. And hopefully people like you would just be quiet and not speak out and say something or leave. And then everybody could say, well, you were fired. So what credibility do you have? But this hospital apparently had been watching all the shortages of nursing going around in the country because there was such a mass exodus over this vaccine. And they knew they were going to be in trouble spending money on travel nurses if they got rid of everybody. So good for them for keeping you. But don't be afraid of that white coat that calls you in on the carpet, nurses, young nurses that are listening out there. You go in and you know that anything I ever got called in about, I guarantee you, was about hospitals protecting their own fanny. It was never really about whatever you might have thought you'd done wrong. And here she feels like, oh gosh, they found out I'm telling everybody not to get that Hep B vaccine. Because she can even stand on that and say, I was giving him a proper informed consent. I just was educating my patient about the vaccine so they can make an informed decision. So
she's
right there. So, okay, so they let you go. You go back to work. They don't fire you. How does things go from there?
So, yes. So they looked over my 6 years of employment and they weren't able to find any reason to fire me. So they were asking me all these questions, trying to see if I had violated HIPAA, trying to find some reason to fire me, but they couldn't. They couldn't find anything. So then they can't legally fire a whistleblower. So I said in that meeting, I officially became a whistleblower. I have rights. And then that's why I believe that they let me go back to work. So then that was December 4th, that meeting. So they had promised us a retention bonus that we were supposed to get in the end of December, actually right before Christmas. If we had remained employed for that entire year, they were going to give us a bonus. And so I was counting on this bonus right before Christmas. And I didn't know the amount at the time, but that check came 2 days before Christmas. And I noticed that I didn't get one. All the nurses at the nurses station were like, yeah, we got our bonus. We're going to go shopping. I'm going to pay some bills or whatever. And then I'm like, well, that's funny. I didn't get one. Huh? You know? So I called HR and I said, hey, I noticed I didn't get a Christmas bonus, retention bonus. Just wondering what happened. I thought maybe it was like a fluke, you know? And she was like, oh yeah, we didn't get you one because based on our own discretion, because you broke the rules, you copy and pasted that email. And I said, well, that sounds a lot like retaliation to me. She was like, no, it's not retaliation. We decided because of this one-time bonus that whatever, that under our discretion, we had the right to hold it or something like that. I'm like, okay, that's not right still, but, whatever, I didn't end up getting it. And then I asked the nurses around me, what was the amount of the bonus? And it was, I cannot even make this up. This tells me 100% that the devil is orchestrating all of this crazy COVID stuff. It was $6,666, that bonus, that I did not receive because I broke the rules. So... that's crazy. It's 6666.
That is unbelievable. For those out there that are religious and Christians specifically, you can definitely see the humor in that and not so much humor in that as well. So here you are now. It's 2024. What's the status from that time?
So I never did receive that bonus, but it's okay because I didn't want that evil money anyways. And then 2023, I still work there. And my work is pretty much just pretending that none of that ever happened. Nobody talks about it. We still see fetal demises pretty much every time I come to work. There's usually one because women are still getting their shots or, even the long-term effects, I've heard from someone who's very experienced with sonography. She's saying that the placentas are damaged. So they develop only for so long. And then once you get to 34 weeks or so for the COVID vaxxed mom, no matter when she was vaxxed, the placentas are not, they stop developing and then they become, they have infarcts. So like little lack of blood flow. And then the babies end up passing away. So that's why they're still passing away. No matter when the mom cuts off.
Or they're being born prematurely and ending up in the NICU. So what would you say,
yes,
if the NICU went to the 80s, how much is it, is it still elevated above the pre-COVID norm?
No, it's back to normal. It's in the 50s usually. But the babies have a lot of health problems compared to before.
Okay, so everybody, just so you understand this, you may say, oh yeah, it was a little fluke thing that happened and it was probably COVID. And yeah, COVID definitely had its own impact on people. But here's the reality. You've got women who are part of the population that the statistically 75% of the American public got two COVID-19 vaccines, but only 13% came back for the boosters. So that means that, of course, there's going to be a normalizing off of the stats coming back to what was pre-COVID, because we're not getting everybody that was part of the 75% was reflective of 21 and 22. But 2024, the birth rates are going on and seeming to normal, even though there's less babies being born. Of course, you're going to see less deaths again if you're getting less pregnant women going back for boosters, which we're very thankful to hear that they're not getting the boosters. But what,
yeah, that's great.
But what would you say would be something you want to make sure, like the labor and delivery nurses know that are out there, the people that are out there in postpartum that are in the maternal health world, what would you say to them as a whistleblower?
Well, I want to make sure people know that there is hope. A lot of people got the shots because they felt forced and they regret it. So, you know, there are detoxing things out there, especially I'm sure on your website with it's Nurses Out Loud, right?
Right. Well, Advocacy with Michelle out there and Nurse Michelle, right? My Instagram, right. That's where I help people, right?
Yes. And then plus, like I said earlier, I do holistic treatments myself. It's called the Body Code. And I've helped a couple people with vaccine injuries myself. And so there's hope. And I also want people to know that if you got the vaccine already, obviously don't get any more because they're toxic to your system. But I also want the mothers who lost a baby to make these doctors, to hold them accountable. I want them to start calling their doctor offices and asking them, like, why did you, you know, recommend that shot to me while I was pregnant, knowing that it could potentially kill my baby? If they start asking enough questions, maybe these doctors might start waking up. And there's a ripple effect. So even when one person wakes up, they usually are able to talk to a couple more people, and it helps. It really does help. One person can make a difference.
Yeah, and you are evidence of that. That is such a valid statement. And those of you that are suffering, that are among those that lost your babies during 21 and 22, if you did get that vaccine, like she said, call your doctors, make sure that you are making them accountable, but recognize you may have yourself a lawsuit, and we've got a list of lawyers that would be willing to look into this a little more carefully and see about it. And you may feel like, I'm grieving, I'm suffering, I don't really want to dig back into this. If you do not do it, it is more likely that this is going to be somebody else's history story again. You're actually helping save other people's babies from the same suffering you've gone through. If you will come forward and be brave about this tragedy that happened to you and question the system and get the data out there. And Michelle, I'm so thankful for what you did. I'm so thankful for the words that you've given. There's more to say. We may have to have her back on the show to get some other stories about how she's helping people. So thank you for being here with Nurses Out Loud today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
It's time.